God. Amen. Christ is risen. The Messiah come. Good morning. Beloved in Christ, what a beautiful moment to be in this holy community and to meet and visit with all of you as beloved in Christ. Beloved Father Elias, Father Raphael, Deacon Simon, the subdeacons, the readers, the cantors, the parish council, the servers, the visitors from Brazil, Ahlo Sahla, Alhamdulillah Salaam. The visitors and the friends of this holy community. It's always a blessing for me, for us, to be around the holy table, around our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, one of the questions was, what can a bishop's visit bring to the holy community? And that question was in light of the Maronite Patriarch's visit to town. So it happened that his visit and my visit together at the same time. So I said, even when it is short, but it can leave a great impact on the people, on the community, and in town in general. On the other occasion, one day I asked the clergy in a clergy meeting, I said, what do you think of the bishop's visit to a community? And, you know, those who were not born in their faith, so they don't understand why the bishop has so much authority, has so much power, so they left their Protestant churches and their history and whatever, because the abusive authority, not the loving authority, the abusive. So that's why, you know, like most of the people who were under an abusive authority, they left. They said goodbye to that authority. While in our church, in the Orthodox Church in general, there is no authority over anyone except the authority of love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion. So that's why, you know, as Jesus taught us, that we have in our ministry, we have to wash the people's feet, so as the same token, we have to do it. So my answer was that when they said to me the bishop's visit is fun and something like that, so I said, no, it is not a fun, it is a blessing. It is a spiritual impact. It is a joy. It is some experience we cannot have it every day. So today we gather with this kind of spirit. Today we as every time when I visit this holy community, We praise God. I visit the sick. I greet the people. I embrace the children. And I bring joy and hope and consolation to those who lost their loved ones. When the time of desperate, when the time of hopelessness, the bishop has to sustain his people. The bishop has to give encouragement. The bishop has to draw their attention. that, you know, like we should never forget our countries, Lebanon and Syria and Palestine and Iraq and Egypt and Jordan and any other country in the region. So we have roots there. We have families. You know, not all of us, like you and I, not all of us, we have relatives here or we have families here in this country. So I still have in Lebanon and in Syria, I have my family in both countries. And my mom was planning to come and live with me here, but God rest her soul, she passed. So now we have loved ones in those countries, and we have to pray for them, even from a distance, In a divine liturgy like this, we can communicate with those people. I know that we call them all the time, but we can communicate in a different way of communication. That is prayer. You know, today is Mother's Day. Before I give my homily, today is a blessed Mother's Day. It's a beautiful occasion, and it is dear to all of us. You know, even according to our time, we celebrate Mother's Day on March 21st, but it doesn't hurt like to celebrate it twice, because, you know, we cannot honor and we cannot thank our mothers enough for what they did for us. So that's why, beloved in Christ, not by accident, from day one of creation, from day one of when our Lord Jesus Christ fashioned this word, he said, honor your fathers and mothers. You remember that? Akrim abaka wa ummak. So today they give flowers, they feed each other, they prepare some meal, they gather around, you know, like the family. That's fine. It's fine. But you know what? Prayer is the most important gift we can offer. So let us teach our children, the little ones, how to honor their father and mother. Now, in our time, you know, we see that the Orthodox family, the Christian family, is becoming like weaker and weaker. And they don't have the respect. The children, they don't call mom anymore. They say, hi Mary, hi Joanna, hi this, hi that. You know, when I was a bishop, before she passed away, she treated me like a child, like a little boy. She said to me, son, you have to listen. Yes, mom, I have to listen. God has given me another two adopted, if you like, mothers. One in Kisarwan, she passed away a few years ago. And in Los Angeles, I have another one. And she, when she sees me, she tells me like, she acts like this way. Son, you're not calling me anymore. So mother. Motherhood is a big cross, a big joy, a big responsibility. So therefore, beloved in Christ, I pray for all the mothers today and for all the sisters, because the sisters will someday become mothers. And the little ones also, the girls. So if they have a good example at home, how the mother is acting toward them, so they will learn that a mother is not a label, is not a title, but it is a great responsibility, and it is a great blessing, and that blessing coming from the Bible itself, where it says, honor your father and mother. So I pray for all the mothers to have a long life. And a healthy and peaceful life and a successful life, and to keep carrying, you know, no matter what, no matter how much they tired, no matter how much they suffer, you know, because their children are gone, the children are gone astray sometimes. So that's why they keep the suffering in their heart, like the Holy Mother of God. She kept everything in her heart. and she never complained, and she never rejected any of the disciples for what he did. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Thomas doubted, you know, like doubted, and other disciples were very difficult. But the Mother of God kept them together, as one body. So that's why we have the holy disciples. And today the epistle, one line is important here, that in Antioch the disciples were called Christians for the first time in Antioch. So that's why the Antioch church, Al-Knesia Al-Antakiyya, is not, you know, like without a history. So the Antiochian church has the longest history ever in this life. So when we call our patriarch the patriarch of Antioch and all the East, that is something biblical, that is historical, that is a blessing, you know, for our patriarch to be carrying the name of Antioch. And 2 years ago, I took with me 20 American people, and I went to Syria and Lebanon and Antioch. I visited Antioch for the first time in my life. And in Antioch, what we saw? We saw the cave where St. Peter and Paul used to preach until this moment. It exists until this moment. And it is empty, an empty cave. And nothing there, no icons, nothing, because under the Turkish occupation, what do you expect? Nothing left. So they used like to say, you know, like the name, something, you know, like, and but all that removed now with Turkey now trying to be part of the European community, that would be impossible at this moment. But they are trying to show tolerance. They are showing, you know, like a little bit, you know, like easy life, let's say, for Christians. And when we were there, I and the group there, so we sang, we chanted the Troparion of St. Peter and Paul, and the Muslims were like, the Turks, I mean, they were listening to us, you know, what we're saying, and they didn't bother us because, you know why? Because we are American. So if they were like Arabs, they would have, you know, kicked them from there. So after visiting the cave, the Mughara, about Peter and Paul, we visited our cathedral in Antioch. It's a beautiful cathedral. It is up to date. It is modern. Our patriarchate has helped them big time to remain in their faith and to remain, you know, strong in their faith. And no matter, you know, how pressure they have in Turkey there against them, but they are still practicing their faith. And one day, you know, like the Patriarchate of Constantinople, for example, Turks, you know, like they throw garbage on the wall all the time. So this is an ongoing, you know, like action, and this is the hatred. You know, they call human rights and whatever, but just hacky. So this is number one, beloved in Christ. The other one is the beautiful Samaritan gospel teaching today. What do we learn from that? I'm not going to read the same story. You know, you heard it in Arabic and in English. So what do we learn from this story? From this, why the church, you know, has to read this for us? A Samaritan lady. Samaritan do not, you know, have any dealings with the Jews. Water and wherever, and so the line is here, the answer is here. She discovered that he is the living water. هو الماء الحي. Not anyone else. Jesus himself. هو الماء الحي. من يشرب من هذا النبع لن يعطش إلى الأبد. لن يعطش إلى الأبد. He will never thirst again. The one who drinks from the well of Jesus Christ, not from the well of Jacob anymore, not from the well of Joseph or George or something like that, but the one who drinks from the well of Jesus Christ will never thirst again. So that's why we are the icon of Jesus Christ, the icons of Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, like if you are in the church, after a few minutes from now, when I do the sensing, when وقت اللي بخر, I sense the icons and I sense the believers in the same way. Why? Because you are the icons. You are the reflection of Jesus Christ. You know, many, many, for many years before the holy Mandilion, المنديل الشريف, المنديل المقدس, بإلنا الكتاب المقدس, الله لم يره أحد قط. God, no one saw him. How do we see God now? You know, God in the Old Testament said to Moses, no one sees my face and lives. Because no one can see the divinity. ما حدا بيقدر يشوف الإلوهة. الإلوهة something, شيء عظيم, beyond my mind. And I am a little creature, a little human being. So I cannot see the divinity of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, in order not to deprive us from seeing him, he became flesh. He came to us. He came to us and ate with us. And he said to us, come, see me. Crucifixion. Why did he crucify? Why? For what reason? They used to crucify criminals. But Jesus, what crime he committed? Nothing. Even Pilatus, even Pilate, he didn't find anything wrong with this man. Even his wife, Pilate's wife, he said, don't ever bother this man. I have seen a dream that this man is innocent. So now during the Holy Week, before Pascha, during the day of crucifixion, Holy Thursday, 12 Gospels, 12 Injil بنقرأ, and you heard the dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees, between Jesus and the scribes, الفريسيين والعشارين والكتبة والكذابين والدجالين. He said to them, الويل لكم أيها الكتبة والفريسيون المراؤون. Hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. ألن تعشرون النعنع. ألن. جملة حلوة كمان. ألن ما بتتساهلوا ببعض الأشياء الصغيرة بس ولكن بتبلعوا الجمل. Alone, you ignore the law. You ignore the mercy of God. You ignore justice. So that's why, you know, like they have some tension. Jesus was not an easy person. So that dialogue took place in the Bible, beloved in Christ. You know why? Because they charged him with three things. Three crimes. The first one, the first crime, they charged him that he said that he is the Son of God. He is equal to God. إنه المساوي للآب، جعل نفسه مساويا للآب. هذه أول جريمة. ثاني جريمة، قال لهم إن مملكتي ليست من هذا العالم. My kingdom is not of this world. الجريمة الثالثة، قال لهم أنا أنقض هذا الهيكل وأبنيه في ثلاثة أيام. I destroy, I tear down this temple and rebuild it in 3 days. So they went crazy. He was talking about his body, the temple of his body, and they were talking, they thought that he was talking about the temple of Sulaiman, Solomon in Jerusalem. أخذ معهم 38 سنة 39 سنة بناء، ظنوا انه هو هلأ بيهدم الهيكل وعم يعطيهم مثل شي اعجاز، يعني انه كيف مين بيقدر يرد يبني في 3 ايام. هو كان عم يحكي عن هيكل جسده. He was talking about the temple of his body. So that's why he died. He was crucified and died and resurrected again the third day. You see, when someone thinks that he is a good Christian but he is not, he doesn't understand the message, he screws up everything. Beloved in Christ, today another similar thing. The Samaritan lady, she came to take some water, to draw some water from the well of Jacob, but she left as a faithful in him. She has faith in him that he is a prophet. She discovered that he is the prophet first. The other thing, he is Messiah. He is the same Jesus Christ. Messiah means المنتظر. المنتظر. كل الشعوب تنتظر قدوم يسوع. Every nation is waiting for Jesus Christ because he is the answer. Now, any other power in this earth, they call for violence, for killing, for hatred. Except Jesus Christ's message is for love and forgiveness and tolerance. So that's why everyone is bothered these days with the Christian presence in the Middle East. They emptied Iraq from the Christians. Now you hear what's happening in Syria. So beloved in Christ, we don't believe in violence. We don't believe in killing. We don't believe in hatred. So even when Jesus, they brought against him all the charges, he remained quiet. He remained silent because he didn't have to bother himself and answer any of their questions. Beloved in Christ, this is what we learn today. Look at the last line in this here. من بعد ما قال له, after he said to her, believe me, woman, not in this mountain, not in Jerusalem, not anywhere else we worship God. The worshippers, they worship God in spirit and truth. You remember this? The last line, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews, not this line. The last line is, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of your words that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. هذا هو مخلص العالم. الجواب. That's why now you got to understand why we fast in the church. Now you got to understand why we pray together. Now you got to understand why we forgive each other. Now you got to understand why we come for confession. Now you understand why we have a bishop. Now we got to understand why we have Abuna Eliashon. Now we got to understand why we pray together in this beautiful community for this life. Because Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So we are not in a play, in a theater here. So don't fight. Don't fight. Don't shout on each other. Respect each other. Love each other. Because Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to fight over anything. Now you understand what authority I have over you. I have no authority. Just to lead you, to teach you, to guide you, to keep you from one generation to another as good Christians. Don't turn the church into a club, a kitchen. We eat and we من هيس ومن عيد وكذا مدري شو. Keep the church as a holy church. And the church is not the building. You know, don't miss the theology as the Pharisees missed it. He was talking about the body of, about the temple of his body. They thought that he was talking about the temple of Suleiman. And here I say the same to you. The church is not the body, it's you. Every one of you is the church. That's why we sense all of you the same way. That's why we receive the Holy Communion. If we are not repentant, the communion would mean nothing. If we are not reconciled, if we are not forgiven and forgiving, would mean nothing. حتى لو بناخد الإرباني ملايين المرات ما بيتغير شيء. Don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. If we are not ready to receive the Holy Communion, if we are not reconciled, if we are not forgiven and forgiving, the communion would mean zero. Would mean zero. We eat it again and again and again and again and again. Nothing. So therefore, beloved in Christ, if you like the miracle to happen in this holy community, let us receive the Holy Communion in worthiness, in godliness, with a good preparation. If you like Lebanon to be different, if you like Syria to be different, if you like this world to be different, our prayers with repentance makes a big difference. So when I tell you, when I say to you that I pray for you, do you buy it? Do you understand that I am praying for you, for healing? For healing. For your life to be godly, to be different, to be a better life. You pray for me, I pray for you. This is the holy community. This is the church. So the bishop is the father. The children pray for their father. The father prays for his children. So again, let us pray for our mothers, those who are still with us for many, many years, God willing, and those who passed away. Let us say, memory eternal. فَلْيَكُنْ ذِكْرُهُمْ مُؤَبَّدًا فَالْعِيدُ أَنْتُ خير أَيُّهَا الْحَبَّةِ
Allah'a emanet olun.